Welcome, everybody.
It's lovely to see you. What a good day. What a good day. Let's, before we do anything else, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for bringing us here together in this place, listening to the recording of this service, wherever we may be. Thank you for bringing us here on this special day. Help us, Lord, to see you, to know you, to receive your love, and love you in response. Fill us with your joy and peace in believing, we pray. Amen. Well, you know what I've said before, for those who know me here, we have notices, which is a sign of life. Isn't that good? Only a couple of notices, and they're really good ones. Firstly, can we just give a round of applause and thanks for all these wonderful flowers? I don't know if anybody else helped them, but I know Sue and Claire were here all day yesterday having so much fun. And it is just wonderful to have this visual aid all around us. And just, we had the bareness of just the cross on Good Friday, and now on Easter Sunday, we have all of this. So it's wonderful. So thank you so much. Thank you to everybody who's worked behind the scenes throughout Easter, whether it's Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, or today. Thank you for everyone making preparations so that we can come together and celebrate. We have a couple of birthdays today, and our theme for the service today is new life. And 7 years ago, is that right? There was a new life created, and it's the one with the hat. I'm not going to embarrass her. She's got enough attention on already. Your hat is glorious, Connie. And it's Connie's birthday today. Now, I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was a little more than seven that it was Andrew Hamilton's birthday today. Our treasurer of Peterston, Boys Brigade leader, and otherwise encourager, singer, reader, and blessing that he is. So, do you want us to tell her how many years ago? So 11. You look very old for an 11-year-old. You add 4 to the 7 and make 74. Don't look a day older, 50. So, joy is on standby. Are we ready to sing Happy Birthday? Yes. Ian on Tuesday. And Andrew Worth somewhere around as well. We got some. What we're going to have to do, we're going to do Connie and Anthony, but can everybody else just be Andrew, but be celebrated as well, because they're all coming up. So you'll hear Ian's voice in there somewhere, and just give it some welly. Joy, would you like to play? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Connie and Andrew and everybody else. Happy birthday to you. New life. That's what today is all about. New life. So, it's Easter Sunday, and we're remembering and celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. So I've got a question, and I'm asking children and adults, and anyone's welcome to answer this question. What happened on the first day of the week after Passover 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem? What happened? Lots of things happened. Who wants to tell me something that happened 2,000 years ago on the first day of the week? Don't be shy, otherwise we won't know. I'm coming over here because Charlie and Christina are playing mum and daughter games. Charlie, are you going to say? Yeah, Charlie, you're the one doing the pushing.
No, yes. She was the one doing the... It was her this time.
It was her this time. What happened 2,000 years ago?
I mean, to be fair, if we're being precise, it was 1,990, but yeah.
Thank you very much. Approximately 2,000 years ago, what happened, Charlie?
He rose.
He rose. Who's the he? And the answer is?
Jesus.
You know the answer to any question in this church is Jesus, don't you? That's right. Excellent. So he rose. So tell me what else happened. Come on, tell me something. And there's pictures all around that tell us what happened. What happened? Yes, Angela.
The guards fell asleep.
The guards fell asleep. There were some guards posted to watch the tomb that Jesus' body had been put in, and they fell asleep.
The women went to the garden expecting to mourn Jesus and were surprised that that's not what they found.
That's not what they found. Okay, Joan at the back.
The stone had been rolled away.
The stone had been rolled away. We've got this wonderful image here, which we can see in the flowers, and also the picture at the back. We're going to be hearing about some of this in the songs we're just about to sing, and in the readings that are to come. These are just some elements of the story that are here. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. That's what Jesus says to us today. Do not be afraid. I am the first. Lots of seats down here and room for the pushchairs. So do come around this way. Come around this way. There's plenty of room. In the second row, just down here. There's plenty of room. Are you together? Do you want to be over here? You're okay there. Okay, right. There's plenty of room, so you're more than welcome. You're not disturbing us. We love having children here, as many as possible. Jesus says to us today, I'm going to repeat his words. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Let's worship with songs that declare the resurrection of Jesus. Feel free to sit, to stand in the spaces that are created. Speak out words of praise. Whatever God gives you, today is a day of celebration. And I want to give you a few moments to pick up the banners and the instruments. So there's banners here. There's all sorts of instruments. We want some celebratory noise this morning. Anybody's got a hearing aid, turn it off, and then you'll be fine. See what a morning.
Only beginning.
Thank you, Lord.
just like the wedding ring. We are the bride of Christ, and there is no end in the wedding ring. It's just a circle. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you that our body will decay, but our spirit will live forever.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ triumphant, ever reigning, Saviour, Master, King, Lord of heaven, our lives sustaining, hear us as we sing, yours the glory and the crown, the high renown, the eternal name, the name that's above every other name. Lord, our voices may stop, we may run out of breath, but we thank you that heaven is still worshipping and praising. The worship never stops because you are always worthy of praise and glory and honour. Thank you for this opportunity right now to join in the song of praise. But may we keep on worshipping, praising you today and every day. It's such good to have the encouragement of coming together with others. But Lord, you want our adoration every day, every hour. And we give it to you, Lord. And help us to keep giving it to you. Amen.
Amen.
One of the advantages of COVID was that we had to have the windows open. I was just thinking as we were worshipping then, because it's very warm in here, we should have had all the windows open so everyone in the street could hear the worship of the Lord Jesus. And that's what it's all about. We're going to take up an offering now. For our visitors, guests, this is not for you, unless you really want to give to the Lord's work. It's for our regular church members. We're not after your money. We just want to see you. So if you've come prepared to give to the Lord's work, then great. But don't scramble around for money. That's not what this is about. It's an opportunity to worship. And we're so pleased to see all those that we don't normally see. All our guests and visitors and people we've not seen for a while. It's just lovely to be here. So, Stuart, if we could wait upon us now, that'd be great. Lord, we thank you for your most indescribable gift to us of Jesus and of new life. Thank you for this privilege of giving to you that others might come to know your love. Bless these gifts, we pray. Give us wisdom and courage to spend them well, that your kingdom may be advanced, that many will come to know you. Amen. Now, we heard earlier when I asked you what happened 2,000 years ago of some of the things that happened. Jean's about to bring to us our first Bible reading, and we just need to, by way of introduction, to know what happened before. Jesus had been crucified and died, and Joseph of Arimathea, together with Nicodemus, asked Pontius Pilate, Roman governor, for his body, and they buried his body in a tomb carved out of the rock. It was Joseph's own tomb. And Jesus' body was placed there. I'd never thought before what happened to the crown of thorns that had put on Jesus' head. Joseph, I'm sure, must have taken it off. And you see it here, just here. His body was put in the tomb. And the Jewish leaders, the authorities, they said to to Pontius Pilate. The disciples said that Jesus would rise again, or Jesus said that Jesus would rise again. So we need to stop that happening. We need to stop any messing about. We don't want the disciples coming along and stealing the body and pretending that Jesus is raised to life. So not only was a stone put in front of the tomb, but it was sealed, and a Roman guard, several guards, were stationed outside. That's what happened on Friday, and it was all there Saturday. The tomb, the stone, sealed with the guards.
Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Fear and joy. Fear and joy. Who was afraid? Who was afraid? Well, to start with, there were some people who were very afraid. Can you see on that picture? The guards were so afraid of the angel that they shook and became like dead men. Leslie said they fell asleep. Well, that is strictly true. But it wasn't a nice, peaceful sleep. They were so frightened, they were just shocked to sleep. They became like dead men. I always love the fact that the angel rolls the stone away and sits on it. Ta-da! I haven't got this in my notes, but actually I think the angel was really happy about that. I remember thinking about, maybe it was last year, can you imagine the scene in heaven? Can you imagine the scene in heaven on Saturday? They're all saying, "Let it be, I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to be the one." They're all queuing up to the Father saying, "Can I be the one? Can I be the one who rolls the stones away?" And we don't know who it was, but whichever one it was, rolled the stone away, ta-da! And the angel was joyful, but the soldiers were scared to death. Angels, they're not the fluffy things with wings. I mean, this is quite good, but I mean, angels, you don't mess with angels. You read the Old Testament. You don't mess with angels. If angels turn up, somebody normally dies. You know, that's the sort of thing that happens. So the angel came, and the guards didn't die, but they were shocked and became like dead men. So the guards were afraid. Who else had fear? Who else was afraid? The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid." So the women certainly were afraid. Later on, the men when Jesus appeared to them in Jerusalem, they were startled and frightened. His close friends, the people he'd been with for the last 3 years, they saw Jesus and they were startled and frightened. The appearance of angels, the resurrection of Jesus, supernatural and unexpected, led to fear. Who had joy? Well, you heard of the reading? So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. After this encounter, Jesus with Mary here, and there were more women, they were afraid, yet filled with joy. Later on, the same thing happens to the men. Luke tells us in his gospel that the disciples were filled with joy and amazement when they saw Jesus alive. In fact, they were so joyful and so amazed, they couldn't believe that he was truly alive. They were completely mixed up. John tells us in his gospel that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Has anybody here been overjoyed? I've been fairly happy at times, and maybe my wife and a few others would say I could get overjoyed. Today, perhaps I'm slightly overjoyed. When I see who's turned up today, people I know and people I don't know, I am overjoyed. Anybody else here overjoyed today? Yes. Look at that. This is the one day when you allow yourself to be overjoyed, British reserve people that you are. These disciples were so overjoyed, they couldn't even believe what they were seeing. But something in them was jolly happy about it. They were wild, taken up, overjoyed. This is exactly what Jesus said would happen. As he spoke to his disciples on the night before he died. In a little while, you will see me no more. Remember, this is on Thursday night, before Good Friday, before Jesus died. In a little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby's born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. It's what happened 7 years ago and 74 years ago. A child was born into the world. So it is with you. Now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. That's what Jesus told them on the night before he was betrayed. They had wept and mourned as the world rejoiced at killing the Saviour, at Jesus dying on the cross. But their grief has now been turned to joy, because they saw Jesus alive. Disciples' fear went away, but their joy continued. And this was because Jesus explained to them what had happened and why. Luke, we're going to have the reading now for Dennis, if you'd like to come up. Luke, in his gospel, says, I've researched everything that went on, I found out the truth, and I'm telling you. And so Luke tells us lots of things that none of the other gospel writers tell us. And this is what he told us about what happened next to the disciples.
The reading is Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53, and it can be found on page 1062. He, that is Jesus, said to them, that is the disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Thank you, Dennis. Jesus reminded his disciples of what he told them on several occasions, that God had inspired the writers of the Hebrew Bible, their Bible, what we now call the Old Testament. He'd inspired Moses as he wrote down all those books. He inspired all the prophets. He inspired the writers of all the Psalms. They all wrote about Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. They also foretold that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And the disciples' joy continued even after Jesus had left them, after he'd ascended to heaven. We just heard, while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Why were they so joyful? Can you imagine if you were there, and Jesus has been with you all that time, he's done amazing things, he's died, and then you've got him back again. And now he's gone. Why did they return to Jerusalem with great joy? Well, it's something I hadn't seen before. And it's always great when you read these things in the Bible, even if you read them lots of times. I hadn't seen this before. He left them, and was taken up to heaven. He's gone. Then they worshipped him. That was the first time they worshipped him without seeing him. Why did they worship him? They knew he was God. They knew he was alive. They knew he was still with them, that he could hear their worship. So that's why they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, because he was alive. He was still with them. And he wasn't going to leave them alone. Someone was going to be here. At the Last Supper, Jesus had promised that he would ask the Father, and the Father would give them another advocate, another comforter, a counselor, one to come alongside, just like Jesus, to be with them forever. And this was about to happen. Jesus said to them, we've just heard it, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." How exciting! When was the last time you got really excited about something? I'm not going to ask you to go into detail. What was the last time you're really... I can't wait till that's happened. Sometimes it's children at their birthday parties. Sometimes it's, I don't know, going a trip somewhere. Or a special event. Leslie knows me, it's really funny. If we're going out somewhere, and I'm looking forward to going there. We're walking together, but we're not really together. I'm a foot ahead. I'm just excited. I'm looking forward to going through the door. Who's going to be there? Who's here? They had the excitement of the expectation. God was going to use them, the ones who'd run away from Jesus, had let him down. He was going to use them. And 50 days later at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was indeed poured out on them. And they did just that. They were used to tell others about Jesus. And we'll be coming to that later in the year. So, what difference does the new life of Jesus make to you? What difference does it make? It was just wonderful to worship earlier on with raising the roof. Just as well as a good strong roof, because it was just wonderful. But it's not just singing songs, is it? What difference does it make? And we're going to look at those two things, just briefly. Fear and joy. Are you afraid? Do you have fear? I need to count it one day just to check, but I'm told 366 times in the Bible it says, do not be afraid. That's one for every day of the year, including leap year. Now, why does it do that? Because we have a tendency to feel afraid. Some of you, even though you've got a smile on your face now, you may underneath be afraid. Fear is part of our human life. We're afraid of all sorts of things. It is normal, but it is not God's plan for us. It's not how God wants us to live our new life in Christ. He does not want us to be afraid. That's why he says 366 times, do not be afraid. He says to the women, do not be afraid. The men, do not be afraid. Children, old men, old women, young women, all of us, do not be afraid. Paul, the writer of a lot of the New Testament, tells a young pastor in the church in Ephesus, Timothy, these words. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The disciples met Jesus, worshipped him, received his Holy Spirit, and so they were no longer afraid. Even though they were all killed, one way or another, for their faith in Jesus. So, have you met Jesus? That was the reason why the disciples were no longer afraid, because they had met Jesus. Are you worshipping him? Have you received his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to reassure you that you're God's children? Are you full of God's Holy Spirit? For some of us, at some times, God's fire seems to reduce down just a little tiny ember, only barely glowing, like the pilot light on your boiler at home if you've got one with a pilot light. Just a little flame. God wants to do for us what Paul said to Timothy. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit, because when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can't be afraid. Also, we need to worship him. Leslie and I have a saying, if you're worshiping, you're not worrying. Is that not true? That's why we come out of worry into worship. There's an old hymn that says, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. All the old ones are good ones, aren't they? And that's it, is it? Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. God wants us to worship him, to love him, to serve him, to go out telling everybody else about him, to laugh and smile and cry and mourn. But he wants us to have life in abundance. So that's fear. Let's receive the Spirit and worship. Meet Jesus. But joy. Do you have joy at this very moment? Yes. Yes. What gives you joy? For the women on Easter Sunday, it was realizing that Jesus is no longer dead. Can you picture yourselves as ladies? Men, this is an opportunity. Grasp it with both hands. You're a lady in this group of ladies, wanted to complete the burial process because they were there when Jesus was buried. It was very hurriedly done. Joseph and Nicodemus did the best they could, but the ladies wanted to do their bit. Men, you know what it can be like. We do half a job and then the women come along and do the... Well, this was the situation here. The men had done their best, but they were pushed. They had to stop by sundown because it was the Sabbath. The women came. We want to play our part. They were ready to mourn. They were prepared to mourn. I don't know if they dressed in mourning clothes, but they certainly came ready to mourn. Their joy was so overwhelming because they were expecting a dead body and they met the risen Jesus. For the men, they saw Jesus alive. And they then understood what had happened. He explained to them. And then they were filled with the expectation of the promised Holy Spirit. And then joy came to men and women on the day of Pentecost. The prophecy that was fulfilled at Pentecost was the Holy Spirit was poured out on young and old, men and women. The Holy Spirit was poured upon them. There is a joy that comes when we first believe. When we first believe in Jesus. When we first confess our sins and receive forgiveness. When I was 16, I read a little booklet. I realized that I needed to say sorry to Jesus and he would forgive me. And I can picture even now the time, the room, the feeling of that weight coming off my chest when I am forgiven and free. And that's why... There, this is my sheep from Good Friday. Because of Jesus, I'm forgiven and free. There is a joy that comes when you know that for the first time. That's why the song Amazing Grace is so popular. The guys in prison all want to sing Amazing Grace every week at the services that are taken. Every week they want to sing Amazing Grace. Because it talks about, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was a wretch that God poured his grace out and I'm forgiven. Wonderful. The same is true of And Can It Be, hymn, which has the wonderful line, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. There's great joy when we first confess our faith. When we first tell everybody else that we're a Christian. When we're baptized. Ollie had a great time. We got him wet. Really wet. Thoroughly wet in here. And we'll be having other baptisms this year. June 25th. That's the date. So we'll have a baptism. And people will confess their faith in Jesus for the first time publicly. There's joy when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, to fill us with this Holy Spirit, clothing us with power from on high. There's great joy when we see the kingdom of God come on earth, when we see people set free, the blind see, the lame walk, even the dead raised to life, and it still happens today. When we see lives transformed, people no longer afraid, people realizing they are beautiful, not ugly, precious, not worth nothing. There's great joy when the captives are set free and the oppressed released. There's great joy when we see the enemy defeated who holds us all captive at different times in our lives. There's great joy when we see the enemy pushed down. But Jesus says that our greatest joy, more even than seeing evil spirits submit to us, is that our names are written in heaven. Because that's what he came for. To get our names written in heaven's book, where we will spend eternity. Jesus said, I am alive forever and ever. That's why he wants to see us rejoicing that our names are written in heaven and we will be with Jesus forever and ever. Who is looking forward to being with Jesus in heaven? Okay, don't worry if you've not put your hand up, because if you're not, that's fine. It's important that we are true about where we are. Some of us don't know that that's possible, that heaven exists, that Jesus has opened the way there, that we can know life now that never ends. Forgiveness now, and peace that never ends, joy that never ends. That's the plan. Peter, Jesus, one of his closest friends, describes this joy as being so great that it's inexpressible. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. When we put our trust in Jesus, he saves us in three ways. He saves us from the past, from our sins. He saved us completely. We are no longer under his judgment. We are set free. He gives us new life. He saves us today. Whenever we call out to Jesus for help, he saves us. He rescues us. Whatever mess you're in today, or whatever mess you go in tomorrow, you could ask Jesus and he'll save you from it. But he'll also save you eternally. He'll save you from death and hell. He'll save you from separation from God. And you'll have everything with Jesus in heaven. So, how will the new life of Jesus alive impact you today? Is it getting rid of fear? Or is it giving you joy? Or is he giving you both? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word to every one of us here today. Do not be afraid. Come to me. Give your fears to me. Trust me. Together, you and I, we will get through this. Jesus, help us to trust you. Help us to accept your invitation and bring our troubles and our fears to the cross. And as we think about how everything seems so dark and hopeless when you died on the cross, but then you rose. So it's true that however dark and hopeless our situation might be, you will give us new life and hope right in the midst of it. Jesus, fan the flame. Your spirit is in all of us who have put our faith in you. Your spirit is in each one of us who have confessed our sins and have declared you Lord. It's not possible to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we know that for some of us, that ember needs to turn into a flame, and that flame needs to be turned into a roaring fire. So come, Holy Spirit, breath of God, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of songs now, which are joyful songs, but more reflective songs, about the difference it makes that Jesus is alive. Our song are very precious. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted. No condemnation. I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Saviour and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. If you've come to Jesus and said sorry for your sins, for ignoring him, for trying to live in your own strength, whatever it might be, then you are forgiven. There is no guilt. And you don't need to be afraid. He cares for you. Don't worry, but worship. He will help you to do it. Adoption, that we are children of the living God through Jesus' death and resurrection. Amen. Please be seated. We have one more song to sing. But just before we do that, I want to give you some more joy. Have you got enough joy? Nah, it's never enough joy, is there? Joy comes from prayer, participating in God's salvation plan for the world. At the Last Supper, immediately after describing the joy that his disciples would receive after he'd been raised from the dead, Jesus told them this: in that day, you will no longer ask me for anything. I won't be here. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Jesus is saying, when I was here with you, walking around with you, you'd ask me for things. But now, you bear my name, but you could ask the Father directly. You ask the Father in the name of Jesus. You've not done it before, but now you can. And they did. They asked for all sorts of things in the name of Jesus, and all sorts of things happened. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And their joy was completed. It's not enough to be a child of God. We need to be children of God who are participating in the work of the Father, the life of the Father, who are praying. How would it be if you had a child who grew up and never talked to you? It would be the saddest thing. So, in a moment, and we haven't got long today because everyone's wanting to get back for their roast dinner and their chocolate eggs, and the children have been great today, and it's lovely to hear their noise around us. It's fantastic. But just in this short time, let's pray big. Jesus rose from the dead. Is there anything bigger than that? So let's pray big. Let's participate in the work of God's kingdom. Let's pray in the name of Jesus for whatever you have faith for today. And in a moment, have a moment of quiet, and then I'll kick you off and pray. And if God has given you faith in this moment for someone to be healed, for someone to come to know him, for a breakthrough in a particular job situation, a new home, whatever it might be, ask in his name, that your joy may be complete. Lord, forgive us when we don't receive because we haven't asked. Forgive us for missing out on the joy that you intended for us because we haven't prayed. Not just for us, but for others. Lord, give us faith, give us a gift of faith this morning to pray for someone, something, knowing that you intend to give it to us. By the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit that is at work in us, we know that you will work through the prayers of your saints. The earnest prayer of the righteous man achieves much. So Lord, give us faith to pray. Now.
Peace in the world.
Bless you. Bless you.
Father, we pray for Rowena. Complete healing. Bless her, we pray.
Bless you. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we pray for Jean Charman. Bring her back to us.
Bless you. Amen.
We pray for my friend Carl, who has an operation coming up next week.
Bless you.
And who does not yet.
Bless him. Amen.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can be found in your house this morning. But Lord, as Sheila once said to us in a message, Lord, for our inheritance, he was lost.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just pray, Lord, for the lost of this day.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray, Lord, that they will come to our door, Lord, and you will equip us to help them, Lord, and lead them to Jesus.
Yes,
that is the prayer of my heart this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Give us the lost.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name I ask.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, on the day of Pentecost and afterwards, the church grew tremendously. And my prayer, Lord, my prayer today is that you will grow this church today.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for Reverend Stephen with his thyroid and shoulders. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And Lord, we remember, especially today, Lord, that Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we do pray your blessing upon Jerusalem. We know that Christians, Jews, Muslims, many who are have a religious label, but their heart is perhaps not aware of you at all. Lord, we pray that even in this place, as many are coming to faith in Jesus at this moment, we pray you'd increase that. As the times get harder and darker, we pray that your light may shine brighter, that Jews still, as they did on that first time in Pentecost, that many Jews of many different nations will come to know the risen Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for all the lovely children you brought into our midst this morning. I pray that you bless them as they grow up in your name. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we do pray that in those prayers, spoken and unspoken, that something will happen. Lord, we're not telling you what to do. We're praying for your kingdom to come, your will to be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the breakthrough, that something will happen. We pray all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're able to, like to stand, we'll finish our service with Thine Be the Glory. May the God of hope fill you all with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.